I'm going to be seated, if you don't mind. Now, before I get started, where are the 10th graders? Would you put up your hands? Oh, they got you. I wish the 10th grade were sitting right up here in the front, because that happens to be my favorite grade. It really is. I can't help it, but three of the happiest years of my life were spent in the 10th grade. In fact, when I was a 10th grader, I almost got expelled. We all flunked a test one day, and the teacher came in smiling, you know, and she said, "Would all dumbbells stand, please?" And I guess she thought the entire class would rise to its feet. After she said it several times, I stood. "Well," she said, "we have one dumbbell this morning." I said, "Not exactly. I just hated to see you stand alone." But when I was in high school, we didn't have foreign exchange students. But we did have a boy in our high school who came from Germany. This boy was learning to speak English at the same time he was taking high school. Now, I know you're doing the same thing, but this was a little different. It's like the teacher wrote on the board, "I don't have no fun at the beach." How would you correct that? The boy said, "Get a boyfriend." But this boy was thinking in German and speaking in English. Now, to think in your own language and speak in a foreign language can present difficulties. Because this boy kind of got a crush on one of the teachers and wanted to express his appreciation to her and for her. So he sent her a little note, and along with the note, a little flower. And the note read, "Dear teacher, this flower will fade and die, but you, dear teacher, will smell forever." Yesterday, in an assembly, as I was going to the assembly hall, there was a noisy class, and the principal said, "Excuse me." He stepped in the class and said, "All right now, order, order, order," and one of the kids yelled out, "Coca-Cola." And then after the assembly, I was invited to go to the guidance instructor's office, and when we arrived at the office, the door was open. And he had a boy in there, and he said, "I'll teach you to kiss a girl around this high school." The boy said, "You're too late. I've already learned." But I was in a high school not too long ago, and I overheard two girls with hair all over their heads talking. In fact, this girl down here sort of reminds me of her. Her hair looked like an explosion in a mattress factory. And this one girl nudged the other girl and said, "Here he comes." So I looked down the hall thinking I was going to see a real sharp, good-looking character like myself. Because I've always said... I've always said I know my face ain't no star, but I don't mind it, for I'm behind it. The folks in front get the jar. Did you like that little poem? Here's a real tender one. I pressed a kiss to her lips. What could I do but linger? And as I ran my hand through her hair, a cootie bit my finger. When I make my hands go this way, you cut it off real quickly, because I got to keep moving here, you know. Getting back to these two girls in the hall, I knew this one girl really liked this fella because her eyes sort of fluttered like a loose electric light bulb. And so I moved up alongside of her to hear what she had to say as Dreamboat came down the hall. And all she did is looked at her girlfriend and went, now, that boy, that girl's got it bad, you know. But that's pretty normal for a teenager. I know when I was 12, I joined the Boy Scouts. And when I was 16, I joined the Girl Scouts. And it's still happening today. When I want to find out something about teenagers, there are two sources I never go to. I never go to a cheap magazine, nor I never take what I read in the newspapers at face value. I go to what is known as the Purdue Poll. Purdue University has done as much research on teenagers as any university in the country. In fact, Professor Remmers and his staff came up with the four basic problems of teenagers. They found the most important thing in the life of a teenager is to be liked. The second most important thing is to be accepted by a certain group or crowd. Thirdly, they want to know when they're in love. Fourthly, they want to know what the future holds. Now, the two I want to talk about are these. Teenagers want to be liked, and they want to be accepted. Now, there's nothing wrong with that in itself, but where the rub comes in is what we do and how we go about to get others to like us or others to accept us. One day before in an assembly, I was waiting to see the principal. Now, normally, if I can help it, I don't spend a lot of time in a principal's office. Just a little rule that dates back to my high school days. I met your principal this morning, Mr. King, and amazingly enough, he seems to be reasonably human. In fact, just before the assembly, he said, "Mr. Loney, what would you do if you were in my shoes?" I said, "I'd polish him." I was waiting to see this principal. While I was waiting, I was looking at this trophy case, and there were three boys standing there, and I wasn't paying too much attention. And all of a sudden, one of these boys clips off with a very decided two-sided crack. I thought to myself, well, here we go. Here's Junior trying to impress me that he's been around, and he's dry behind the ears. He knows a lot about sex. I don't know why it is, but teenagers love to impress one another with their sex knowledge. So, I didn't bat an eyelash. Of course, when he saw that I wasn't wired for sound, why, I know what he was thinking when he looked back at his two buddies. You know, sort of. We got a real triangle on our hands today. That's a square with something missing. I'll let you in on this little secret. I have never had any difficulty understanding a two-sided crack or a dirty joke. In fact, I've always been quite sharp along that line and able to get them. One day I discovered the reason why I was a little sharper along that line than along other lines when I read this verse from the Bible. It comes from Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, and the 9th verse. Here's what it says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, when I read that verse, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, I was aware of the fact that the reference to the word heart here does not refer to your physical organism which pumps your blood. But it refers to that part of us that makes us different from all other living creatures, that which makes us a person. A psychology book would call it the you of your life. The Bible calls it your heart. But the Bible goes one step farther when it says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What it's actually teaching is this: you will always find it easier to do the thing that is wrong than the thing that is right. You will always find it easier to pass the buck than to admit you're wrong. Now, when I read this verse, I was reminded of the teachings of Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount when he taught this. He said, it's not that which goes into a man that defiles a man, but it is that which comes from the heart of a man. And then he went on to say, and out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, evil speaking, and so forth. Now, what Christ was actually teaching is this, that the most ready expression of what a person really is what he says. Frankly, I have never considered anyone genuinely sharp who has to stoop to a two-sided crack or a dirty joke to get a laugh or gain attention. You're smart enough to know, and I'm smart enough to know, that for every clean joke you can find 100 that are off color. Yet so many teenagers come up with a bright idea that the best way to impress somebody that you've really been around, you're really sharp, you really got it, is to come up with something two-sided or dirty. Well, you couldn't be farther from the truth. I saw a boy pulled out of a high school football game one night. Of course, I love football. I played football, really. First time I carried the ball in high school, I ran around right in. One tackler grabbed one leg and one grabbed the other. They both said at the same time, make a wish, buddy, you're going for a ride. And then one other game I played in, it rained 24 hours before the game, and the field was filled with water, and the coach sent me in as a sub. But this boy, as he left the huddle coming to the bench, passing us on the sidelines, he was swearing. A man that I was with, he said, Loney, what's that kid cussing for? Oh, I said, I don't know. Might have the habits of battle, he's not even aware of it. Or he may be trying to impress us that he's tough, or he may be short of vocabulary. That's the only three reasons I know why anybody would swear. In fact, let me prove something to you. Some of you here this morning, the only good reason you have for using profanity is to impress someone. Some of you here, when you're out with a certain crowd of fellas or girls, you can swear right along with the best of them. Yet the minute you hit the back door of your house, you can turn that dial off. The minute you come to high school, you can turn that dial off. The minute you hit the front door of the church, you can turn that dial off. Now, isn't it logical if you can stop swearing because your mother, your father, a school teacher, or a minister, or a priest steps on the scene, that means if you wanted to, you could control it all the time. I know that each of you at some time or other has heard this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, that's not a poem, that's a prayer. That's not something we recite in Sunday in the form of a ritual and then is to be forgotten. Or we have it sung at a wedding or use it here in the high school on a formal occasion. The city of Detroit, there was a banquet for businessmen. An internationally known speaker was speaking, and right in the middle of his address, he started using profanity. So a businessman stood up. Not only did he stand up, but he stood right up in his chair above everyone in the room, pointed his finger at the speaker, and he said, Sir, leave Christ out of it. And he sat down. That man's name is Mr. Steve Rafiki. He's a Roman Catholic. After the banquet was over, there was a longer line of men standing to shake his hand than the hand of the speaker. You say, Loney, well, what are you getting across? There was one man that stood up, and he as much as said this, Gentlemen, I don't know which side of the fence you're on, but I know which side I'm on. And he wasn't worried about somebody laughing at him or somebody talking about him or somebody poo-pooing what he had done. I'm never surprised or shocked when I see an adult or a teenager wait to see which way the wind is blowing in words or actions and then go along with it. The average fellow, the average girl, is afraid of being laughed at. You're afraid of being talked about. You're afraid of being excluded from a group. That's why many times teenagers go ahead and do something. They don't ask, is it right or wrong? Because you don't want to be laughed at. I was going to have an assembly in a high school right after the lunch hour. It was the first good warm day of spring, about 85 degrees. When I arrived at the school, I gave a girl a card and I said, tell the principal I'm here. And then I wouldn't have to go into school till after the bell rang and so forth. So I parked my car. Right across from the car was a group of boys. Back of them was a parking lot. And then toward the back of the car was the high school. So I was sitting there, all the windows rolled down, enjoying myself, listening to the radio. And these guys were goofing off. And all of a sudden, one of these fellas said, let's skip school. So I reached over and turned the radio off. You know, I wanted to hear it. And I'm a little nosy by nature anyway. Now, one of those fellas said, now look at fellas, it's wrong. You know what the big deal was? Where should we go? They had a little legislative debate on it. They polled the committee, and they took off across this parking lot. One guy turned around, he said, aren't you going, Johnny? Yeah, you're yellow. Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, no, I'm not. Johnny took off with him. Two other guys stood there. These two guys that stood there, they as much as said, boys, laugh at us. Do anything you want. In fact, you can even call us Twinkies. We're going to school. Boy, I thought to myself, if that isn't a picture of life, one guy suggested it, the majority jumped on the bandwagon, one guy gets talked into it, two guys stand for the right when the wrong is popular. I waited till those fellas got way over to the other side of the parking lot, then I yelled at them, I'm going to squeal on you. Boy, they came barreling back across that parking lot. You hear that car park, 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 park. So I got out and said, and you will put it together, part by part. One great big guy says, who are you anyway? Said, I'm Santa Claus in disguise. Oh, aren't you smart? I said, yes, I'm smart, and I'm still going to squeal on you. I said, boys, I'm having an assembly in this high school, and I want you there. You know something? They were there. Which proves to me this. No fella ever does anything wrong with the idea they'll ever get caught. That's right. The average fella, the average girl just goes along because it's the easiest thing in the world to do. In fact, one day, I was eating across from a high school. Four high school girls came in and sat down. They weren't there 30 seconds, and they got out their little flip-top box and passed them around. And the reason these girls caught my eye was the minute they had those cigarettes in their hand, I could just tell the way they went about it. They knew how to smoke with real finesse. Class. You know what I mean? You see, if you do it rightly, you can do it with a touch of culture and refinement, you know. See, smoking isn't just a matter of a... Oh, no, boy. You do it right. Haven't you ever watched these women on TV? Now, those women, you know, they can give you the casual air, the sophisticated air, you know, and, boy, I mean, they really know how to do it. And if they don't do it right, they say, cut! Throw that away. Start over. Well, I watched these four girls. Man, you talk about top dog in the totem pole. Boy, they sat there, you know, and they really had it. They... helped, you know. There they were, gabbing a mile a minute. Any minute, I thought they'd put it in the wrong way. And yeah! Right up, you know. Let me tell you something. You ain't seen anything till you've seen the fellas. Have you ever watched fellas around town or around school on a real good, cold, chilly morning? Oh, I mean, boy, they really got it, you know. Real good, cold morning. Hey, sorry. Keep your hand warm on a good cold day, you know. Do you know why I do not smoke? The reason I do not smoke is no one has ever recommended that I start. I am offered on the average of one smoke per day, and I have one standard answer. No, thank you, I do not smoke. I never tell anybody they shouldn't because it's none of my business. But when I say, no, thank you, I do not smoke, 7 out of 10 always pass comment by saying, buddy, you're lucky, or you're smart, or I wish I could say it, or I wish I could quit. I can truthfully say in the last 20 years, I cannot recall one person when I have said, no, thank you, I do not smoke, that's ever as much as said to me, oh, come on, have one anyway. Never had it happen. You know what I've found? I have found that the average teenager starts to smoke to prove he's a man, and 30 years later he tries to quit to prove the same thing. That's right. But there's always someone doesn't get it. After an assembly, I had a little girl come tripping up to me, and kind of a cute little number. Either she was all out of breath or very dramatic, I don't know which, because she said, Mr. Lewis. I said, yes. I take it from your talk that you don't approve of smoking. I said, no. Well, you don't, do you? I said, why do you ask? She said, I smoke. I said, you what? She said, I smoke. I said, you're kidding. No! I said, honey, it's the cigarette that does the smoking. You're the sucker. After all, that's why you read those signs, no smoking in bed. The ashes that fall to the floor may be your own. She said, have you got any more ideas why you don't smoke? I said, oh, I've always kind of considered it was a fire on one end, a fool on the other. You know something? I hate you. Well, I said, young lady, I am utterly crushed. She went off mumbling to herself, but a lot of kids feel it's important. One day, I overheard two boys in a washroom talking. Kind of a silly statement, isn't it? You really wouldn't expect them to be girls. But this one boy said to the other boy, he said, hey, George. He said, yeah. Oh, that boy, here comes an intelligent conversation. You know, you can spot those honor students every time. I think the closest these boys had ever gotten to honor was yes, your honor, no, your honor. But I listened. I said, George, yep. Going to the basketball game tonight? Nope. You're not? Nope. How's it come? Well, the old man wanted me to take the car. Yeah? Oh, some fathead squawked to the old lady about me being stopped by the police last week. The old lady squeals to the old man, and the old man flips his lid. The old man makes a federal case out of it. He dangles the keys under my nose and says, son, you don't drive this car till you learn to drive.
Now,
doesn't that make a lot of sense? How do I learn to drive the old man's car if the old man don't let me drive it? Why, my old man and old lady tee me up? Ah, that boys, it's a good thing you're not my brothers. For in our home, there was a little razor strap hung in the kitchen with a little motto above it. I need thee every hour. And I don't know to this day whether it was that strap or the Lord they needed, but it was used every hour on the hour. Listen to this, will you? I don't have the snap of my fingers respect for the boy or the girl that'll sass his mother and father and lie to his mother and father and generally make home a hell on earth. In fact, you show me how you speak to your mother and father and how you treat your mother and father, and I'll tell you two things about yourself. I'll tell you basically what kind of a fella and a girl you really are, and secondly, I'll tell you a lot about your future. Solomon said in the Bible this. He said, whoso curseth his father and his mother, his lamp, that means your light or your influence, shall be put out in obscure darkness. One of the Ten Commandments is still honor thy father and thy mother. And I'll go a step further. When you step in this high school in the morning, your character doesn't change. The same fellow, the same girl that'll sass and lie to his mother and father is the same fellow and the same girl that either openly or under his breath will sass and lie to a high school teacher. And I want to say this, kids, if you can't respect and obey a school teacher, you've had it. You're not going to make it. For the day has come in America when it's going to take character to hold a job. And most jobs are lost because of lack of attitude and a person unable to get along with his fellow employees. And that all starts in the home, respect for mother and dad. And don't ever forget it. You know where a lot of kids miss it? A lot of kids have got the idea that attention is popularity. If I can just attract attention. Now listen, I could walk out on this platform with just shorts on. Or better yet, with nothing on. And I would attract attention, but I wouldn't be popular. I'd even get my name in the paper. They might even put me in a little room with men running around with white coats asking me strange questions. You see, popularity is built upon achievement, and as a result of achievement, you are respected, and as a result of being respected, you are popular. You are never popular just because you attract attention. In fact, I was sitting in an office before school started. It's interesting to watch the characters come and go. One boy came in. You see, a teenager can be so sophisticated one moment and so extremely childish the other. This boy showed up in the doorway. Oh, you talk about good looking? Yeah, 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 yeah. And if you don't think so, just hang around a little while and he'll tell you. And he kind of had the idea, you know, I'm not tardy. They just started school before I arrived, you know. And you could tell that he was a little bit bored with the idea he had been inconvenienced in having to come to the office first. But boy, he came in that office, you know, and he had the latest hairdo. Now, the latest hairdo, I saw a boy with his hair wrapped around his head, and he had it pushed out in the back like made his hair look like the west end of a duck going east, you know. Well, I wanted to go up to that boy and say, now look at Junior, that went out 3 years ago, you know. That went out with the iron. But the latest is they get this hair all wrapped around their head, and it looks like an accident, but it was planned that way, you know. And after they get it all wrapped around their head, they look in the mirror and they go, boom, and they drop that lock of hair right down in front of their eyes, you know. Come on. more hair you have blinding your vision, the better it is, you know. Well, there he was. The lady behind the desk said, "Why were you tired?" He says, "I didn't hear the alarm." Much to say, that stupid excuse doesn't work. I can think up a stupider one. She signed the excuse. He snatched it out of her hand without ever saying thanks. I thought, I'm going to follow this character. He shuffled down the hall. "Do you have tired blood?" And when he arrived at his locker, I've seen this in a girl's locker, but never a fella's. He opened that locker door, and wouldn't you know, right in the door, he had a little mirror. Boy, he looked in that mirror. Oh, you lucky dog, you know. How could one guy get all the looks? Like when I was going with a girl that is now my wife, Betty got angry at me. And she said, "I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on earth." I said, "I know you wouldn't, honey. You'd get killed in the rush." Threw a book under his arm and a pencil over his ear, and down the hall he goes. The only honest thing I saw that boy do was he stopped in front of a door which said boys. And then I had to let him go in. Boy, when he got in there and got in front of that mirror, his whole personality changed. You know, he started shaking and said, "You know, out of that boy's got the rickets or a nervous disorder, you know. Man, he reached in, he got that old comb, you know. And he started playing pinch me with his face. And after he completed that job, he moseyed out of there and down the hall into his classroom. 10 minutes passed from the time that boy picked up that excuse in the office till the time he arrived in that classroom. You know, I wanted to tap that boy on the shoulder and say, "Listen, buddy, you're not going to make it." You know, a lot of kids have got the idea they're writing the ticket. I can get to school when I want. I can be late if I want. Nobody's going to push me around. Those fellas either end up quitting school or they shape up, one or the other. That's right. You just never know what you're going to run into when you go to a high school. But I overheard two boys in the washroom, and this one boy says, "Boy, we went out last weekend. Man, did we get loaded. Woo, man. No black spot, but boy, did we get loaded." I usually say, "All right, boys, let's unbutton your shirts and see the hairs on your chest, you know." You know, I often wonder who those guys are really trying to impress. I walked into a high school and met a boy. Asked him if he'd show me where the principal's office was. He said he would. He had a leg amputated. You know, you don't see that every day. And so I said, "Son, how'd you lose your leg?" He says, "None of your business." So I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "Accept my apology." I said, "It isn't. I'm sorry for asking you." "Well," he said, "one of these days I'll get an artificial leg and I won't look so stupid." So when the principal said, "How's every little thing going?" I said, "Well, I got off to a great start." Well, and I told him what happened. He said, "Well, that boy's sensitive about losing that leg, but he's got a right to be sensitive about it." Never said why. After the assembly was over, the first boy up to see me was this boy on crutches. This is what I like about a teenager. They'll level with you. He said, "Mr. Loney, I want to apologize for lipping off to you out in the hall." I said, "Fella, you don't have to do that." I said, "I had no business asking you." "No," he said, "I mean it." He said, "I'm sorry." He said, "After hearing you talk," he said, "I realize you're for us." He said, "Mr. Loney, I'd like to tell you how I lost my leg." Well, I said, "You don't have to tell me." He said, "Well, I want to tell you." So we sat down. He said, "When I came to high school," he said,
I was one of these kids that wanted to be a big shot. And he said, I got into the beer crowd, and we thought we were running the school by remote control, and we thought we were really smart. And he said, one night we were going to kill a case of beer, so we went in the outskirts of town so the local yokels couldn't touch us. And he said, we got out there, we were having a blast, and all of a sudden one of the guys says, hey, my mother and dad are going away, let's go to my house. So we threw up beer we had left in the cars, and we had three cars and two motorcycles, a straight stretch of road going into town, passing one another on the wrong side, really having a time, and all of a sudden we had an accident. He said, one boy was killed, I lost my leg. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I learned my lesson the hard way. He said, believe me, from that day to this, I have never touched a drop. And he said, you know something? They let me be manager of the football team this year, and they're going to let me be manager of the baseball team next spring. You know, when I left that boy, I thought, boy, that kid paid a tremendous price for just trying to be a big shot, to be liked, to be accepted. He thought he had to have a bottle. Anytime a teenager takes a drink, you know what he's really doing? He's looking for the courage at the bottom of a bottle. That's right.
Before I quit this morning, I want to say something about sex. Number one, I don't want you to bat an eyelash. Number two, I don't want anybody looking over at somebody else. And number three, I am directing my remarks primarily to the young fellas and not the young ladies. Now, I'll tell you why. When I was a teenager, anytime anything was ever said about sex or morals, it always ended up as a nice little pep talk to the girls. We got such speeches as, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. As the women go, so go the nation. Abraham Lincoln said, everything I ever am or hope to be, I owe to my mother. So girls, be clean, be pure. Above everything else, be ladies. And if you're ladies, the fellows will be gentlemen. And that was about it. Nothing was ever said to us. That's why we've actually accepted the double standard. That's why we use the phrase, this girl got in trouble. We never hear it said, this fella got in trouble. 20 years later, if the girl does, oh, well, it's to be expected. She got in trouble in high school. But they never say anything about the fella. After an assembly, a boy asked to see me. I made arrangements with the principal to talk to him alone. He said, Mr. Loney, I am valedictorian of the senior class. Well, I said, I never had that problem when I was in high school. I graduate in 4.5 weeks. I have a $5,000 four-year scholarship in my pocket. But in order for that scholarship to be good, I must go to school next fall. But he said, I don't know whether I'll go or not. I said, why? He said, I got a girl in trouble in the senior class. Nobody knows about it but her and me. And he said, if I'm not going to school in the fall, I can't allow the principal to get up and make a great big spiel about this scholarship. He said, I am so confused, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't really know if I love the girl enough to marry her. I'd like to forget the whole mess and just forget it. He said, it's driving me absolutely crazy. He said, I don't know what to do. And that's why I'm talking to you. I said, young man, I hope I have you pegged wrongly. But if I don't, you don't impress me at all. I don't buy you at all. I don't buy this statement, I don't know whether to marry her or forget her. I said, what makes you think you can turn the dials of your mind and life off and just forget her? What about that girl's future? What about that child's future? What are you going to do the rest of your life when you face responsibility? If it gets too rough, are you just going to walk off? I don't want you to laugh at this, kid, but every one of you knows of some young lady that got married in the last 4 years. Either she's living in an apartment or living with her parents, and she leaves her child with the grandparents, and she goes off to work in the morning. You ask her, where is your husband? She'll tell you he just walked off. Well, didn't you get along? Yes, I thought we got along. We didn't have a whole lot of problems, but he got laid off, and while we weren't making ends meet, in fact, I told him I was willing to work until he could find something, but he just quit. You know something, kid? The big problem is this business. I quit. Boy, if things get going tough, I quit. Some of you have musical instruments your parents really sacrificed to get for you, but you found out it was a whole lot easier to smoke a cigarette with a crowd than to practice the piano alone. So you quit. And we got a lot of fellas and a lot of girls all through their life. When things get rough, they think they can say, I quit. I said, there's a verse in the Bible I'd like you to read. And I turned the Bible over to Exodus, the 20th chapter, and I read them the 14th verse. Here's the way it reads. Thou shalt not commit adultery, girls. I said, here, you read it. And I shoved the Bible across the table. I said, read it out loud. So he read it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, I said, I must have read that wrongly. It doesn't say girls, does it? He said, no, it doesn't. Well, what do you suppose that commandment means that God wrote in the Bible? Well, he said it means what it says. Here's what it means, fellas. It means that God does not condone in young men what he condemns in young ladies. It means that adultery is just as wicked and just as sinful in the life of a young man as it is in the life of a young lady. It means this, kids. If you play loose, you play to lose. And if you're playing a loose moral game today, you're losing, even though you seem to be winning. The cheapest step to being liked, to being accepted, to being wanted, to being loved, is the wrong use of sex. Every day I live, I realize to be happily married and to be the father of four happy, normal, healthy children is no accident. When I was a teenager, my dad and mother wanted to know where I was going and who I was going with, and I was told when I would get in. Sure I bucked. Sure I crabbed. And I could say to my mother and dad, well, you don't understand because they were born in the old country. But all I want to say is this, kids, it paid off. And if you got a mother and father today that wants to know where you're going and who you're going with and knows what it is to say no to you sometimes, just remember this. You got a mother and father that is trying to raise you the hard way. Because the easiest thing in the world would be to let you do what you want to do.
And I want to say in closing this, kids, I never apologize for the Bible. You've probably already caught on to that. In fact, a fellow asked me one time, he said, do you always use the Bible when you talk to young people? And I said, yes. And he kind of smiled at me and he said, why? I said, because I'm a sissy. I knew that's what he was thinking. You know, people have got that idea. You know, you gotta be a sissy. Well, I never apologize for the Bible because I found the answers to my life between the covers of this book. I never apologize for Sunday school and church. And I like sports, kids. I like all kinds of sports.
I go to the average of 7 or 8 football games a year. Say in closing this, kid, I never apologize for the Bible. You've probably already caught on to that. In fact, a fellow asked me one time, he said, "You always use the Bible when you talk to young people?" And I said, "Yes." And he kind of smiled at me, and he said, "Why?" I said, "Because I'm a sissy." I knew that's what he was thinking. You know, people have got that idea. You know, you got to be a sissy. Well, I never apologize for the Bible because I found the answers to my life between the covers of this book. I never apologize for Sunday school and church. And I like sports, kids. I like all kinds of sports. I go to the average of 7 or 8 football games a year, and I go to baseball games, basketball games, hockey games, the Indianapolis speed track, and so forth. I like sports. But you know, I've found I can get all excited about sports, and they'll call me a fan. Yet if I go to church or Sunday school with any degree of regularity, they say you're a fanatic. But you know, I don't buy that. I really don't. The verse in the Bible that means the most to me is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Many times I've quoted this verse. "For God so loved Don Loney that he gave his only begotten Son, that Don Loney believeth in Jesus Christ, Don Loney should not perish, but have everlasting life." Success to me is finding out what God wants you to do and then doing it. And through the Bible and through my personal faith in Jesus Christ, what he did for me on the cross, I have found out what God wants me to do. And my life is a success because I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I want to tell you this, kids, right straight from the shoulder, I've found this to be true. If a boy or girl knows how to live, they'll know how to make a living. I'm not worried about bombs. I'm not worried about Russia. I'm not worried about all that I hear in the papers because I'm concentrating 24 hours a day on one thing, and that's living. And I know if I know how to live, I'm going to know how to make a living. And I hope you'll never forget that. And in order to be liked, to be accepted, to be loved, to be wanted, it's not necessary to tell two-sided jokes and dirty cracks. It's not necessary to stoop to profanity. It's not necessary to sass your parents, to lip off the school teachers, to smoke, to drink, to use sex wrongly, to laugh at the Bible, to laugh at Sunday school, to laugh at church, to laugh at Jesus Christ. It's not necessary to do those things at all. And I hope I said some things this afternoon that you'll never forget. And believe me, for 2,000 students sitting in bleachers without backs, I want to compliment you on the fine attention you've given me. And I sincerely hope that as a result of this assembly, this high school will be a better high school. Thank you very much, and God bless you.